We just pray that you would be with those that that have lost and or have loved ones that are hurt. And Father, we just pray that you'd be with each of those families. Help them to heal. Father, we ask you to be with that city as it tries to put its life back together. And that, Father, you would just give opportunities for your people to step up and to help and to minister where ministering needs to take place. Father, we want to be with the families that have lost loved ones in West Texas. And as they had the explosion and the loss of lives, loss of the EMTs and the firefighters that went to try to help with that fire and the devastation that has wrought in that little town. And Father, we just pray you be each of those families. And Father, we ask you to be with the shootout that took place just these last few days and the police officers that were killed. Father, we just pray that you'd be with their families. Be with that town. Father, there's so many things that are devastating in this world. And Father, we come here this morning and there's probably hurts in our lives and things that we struggle with, things that we need to change. We know we need to change. It's just so hard to make those changes. Father, there's so many hurts in this life that need to be healed. And Father, I just pray here this morning that you would be with us as we open your word and we study your word here today, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do today, that Father, that you would use me this morning as your instrument, that your word would be proclaimed. And Father, as we hear your word this day, that Father, we would not just let it be words that we hear, but Father, that we would apply it to our lives and see ways that we can make changes. And Father, we just pray this day that before we leave this place, that we would make changes in our lives that would help us live closer with you, that we're just not going through some religious activity, but Father, we have a deep-seated relationship with you. We pray all these things in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about the hurts in life, and we talked about fear and worry and these things as we've been progressing through this and see that all types of things happen in our lives and come upon our lives. As Christians, we have something that's pretty much in common with all of us. One thing is that we all want to live a life that is pleasing to God. We want to live for Him. You know, even if our relationship, if we're just a newborn Christian, or if we've been serving Him for many, many years of our lives, we want, in the heart of hearts, is that we really want to live a life that is pleasing to God. We also have to contend with something in our life. And it's the thing I want us to look at here this morning, is that we have to contend with the devil throwing everything he can to tempt us and try to keep us from living that life that is pleasing to God. I want us to open our Bibles here this morning. I would like to read with you, starting in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I want us to look together at the first 13 verses. As we see here that the devil is going to throw everything he can at our Lord Jesus Christ to try to get him to change his mission, not do what he knows he needs to do, anything he can to get him to derail that mission in which Jesus came for. Listen to me if you don't have your scriptures, or you can follow along with me. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully.
They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left until an opportune time. We all face temptation. There's all types of things that happen to us. It's a scriptural fact. As long as we live in these bodies, on this earth, we are going to contend with temptation. So why is this a problem? Because every Christian has two natures. The spiritual nature that wants to please God, and the fleshy nature, the Adamic nature. It's in direct opposition of God. There are times in our lives when we are walking close to God and we have this spiritual connection and our spiritual nature is in full control of our lives. And sin is not really a problem during these times. And then there are other times when we begin to drift from the Lord. And soon the Adamic nature begins to try to control us and temptation becomes a major problem in our lives. It does not matter if a person is a preacher, an elder, a song leader, a choir member, or just a lay person. We all have to deal with temptation. For example, there was a preacher who said, when he was a young preacher, he said, I would hug the older women in the church, and that was not a problem for me because it was not a temptation. But he said, as he was getting older, and the years have gone by, he said he had to stop that because as he gets older, those older women start to look better and better every year. It becomes a temptation. It matters not how old we get or how young we are. Every child of God has to deal with temptation on a daily basis. The Bible tells us that Christ dealt with temptation. The only ones who seem not to deal with battle with temptation is the ones that Satan already has. There is a reason that they don't face temptation. Reminds me of a story about a man named Sam. He was a servant of a wealthy plantation owner many years ago. One day the wealthy plantation owner said, Sam, your loud praying at night is keeping me awake. It's keeping me and my wife both awake every night. I do not see why you have to pray like that. You're such a godly man already. Well, Sam said, sir, the devil has been working overtime with me lately, and so I prayed for the Lord to help me. The wealthy plantation owner said, that's odd. The devil doesn't bother me. Why should he bother you? Well, the servant said, Master, it's like this. We went hunting for ducks the other day, and you shot some ducks, and you killed some, and you wounded the others. But you sent me after the wounded ones. The plantation said, yes, you know why? And Sam said, yes, sir. It's because you know you have the dead ones, for sure, but the wounded ones might get away. Then Sam said, it's this way, Master. The devil knows he's got you for sure. That is why he doesn't bother you. But he's not sure about me yet, so that's why he keeps after me all the time. Temptation in this life are such a major part of life. It's almost as much as breathing. When it comes to temptation, we need to consider at least two things. The first one, if you want to follow along in your notes, is this. How are we tempted? We're going to look at the various ways we are tempted by Satan. He tempts us persistently. See, this is exactly what Satan did with Christ. For example, for 40 days, Satan would throw every temptation he could at the Lord Jesus. And every time, Jesus overcame every one of them. Now, you would think that after 40 days, that Satan would just go, I give up, that's it, you win. But Satan just kept right on at Jesus. He kept doing it over and over as long as Jesus lived on earth. However, we're told in Luke chapter 4, verse 13 this. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. For how long? Until an opportune time. You see, one television evangelist was praying one time, and on the television broadcast, and he was praying for this man, and when he finished praying for him, he stepped back from him, and he said this, never again will Satan bother you. I think he needs to look at his Bible, because I don't think that's what the Bible says at all. I think God's word assures us for sure, as long as we live in these mortal bodies, we are going to face temptation over and over again. We are going to have to contend with Satan trying to pull us down, trying to lead us away from God. Satan tempts us persistently, and he also tempts us after mountaintop experiences. See, we seem to be most vulnerable to Satan's attack just after mountaintop experiences. Jesus had just come from his baptism in our text here this morning. He probably could still hear John the Baptist as he pointed his finger at him and said this, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was finally beginning to receive recognition for he was the Son of God. He probably could still hear the voice of his heavenly Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus had just had tremendous experiences. His baptism of God speaking. He had these tremendous mountaintop experiences when Satan came to him and for 40 days threw every temptation he could at Jesus. However, Jesus just wouldn't sin. Satan knows the best time to tempt Christians is not always when they're down and out, but when you have just had a mountaintop experience. Why does it seem to be that we're most vulnerable after these mountaintop experiences? When things are going right, we often are not praying, "God, give me strength to resist temptation." We don't say that. We drop our guard. We think things are going great. We must never make the mistake of thinking that everything is going so great that we just don't have to be concerned about temptation. When we think we have reached this place, we are on very shaky ground. The Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He says this, we read, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." How are we tempted? Satan tempts us persistently. He tempts us when we have just had mountaintop experiences. As Christians, we need to know how to overcome temptation. There are three things God's word tells us that we need to know to be able to overcome temptations that Satan sends our way. Our first one is this. We overcome temptation by not making provision for it. Not everybody tries to overcome. Some have said this. Many people who flee temptation leave a forwarding address. Someone else has said temptation often comes through a door that someone has purposely left open. Reminds me of a story of a little boy who was told that he could not go swimming on Sunday because it was the Lord's Day and his parents just did not want him to go swimming. His dad missed him, so he went looking for him and they found him in his bathing suit down by the creek. "Dad, I thought I told you can't go swimming on Sunday." Little boy says, "I'm not swimming on Sunday." The dad says, "Then why do you have your bathing suit on?" And the little boy said this, I have it on in case I'm tempted to swim." Another story is told of a little boy who was often guilty of yielding to temptation to steal a man's apples off his tree. The farmer came along and he was sitting on the fence under the apple tree and he said, "Young man, are you trying to steal my apples?" The little boy said, "No, sir. I'm trying not to steal your apples." See, we can make provision for sin. And we could hang around those places and live in those places. And once we do fall into sin, we can't be too surprised because we're staying right there where we have the problem. Years ago, an evangelist became a very popular preacher. He'd go into towns, and when he pulled into a town, he could fill a coliseum. He had three things going for him. He was handsome, he was funny, and he could preach a great sermon. Yet even though he knew the scriptures and knew that some of the places he was going he shouldn't be, he still would go into those nightclubs and those nude strip clubs. He just went in there, and he said, I'm going in there to leave tracks about Jesus. By leaving the door open to temptation, Satan finally caused him to sin. One day, his temptation became so great that he gave in. He left his wife for another woman and destroyed his ministry. We overcome temptation not by not making provision for it. We need to decide now that we're not going to give in to it. One lady said that her husband sits around the house all day and he watches pornographic movies. She went on to say that one of the dumbest things that a woman possibly could say, she said, I know it's wrong for him to watch it, but I'd rather have him home watching it than him being out messing with other women. It wasn't long before he got so turned on by what he was watching that he decided to go and be with other women. See, you cannot watch sexually explicit material and other things that television and the movies expose us to and not be affected by it. If some of us are going to overcome temptation in our lives, we need to get serious about not wanting to surrender to it. And we need to really get serious about pleasing God. Some of us need to go home to our homes today. And maybe some of us need to turn off some of the subscriptions that we have on our television. Maybe there's some of us that needs to go home and we need to stop the subscription to some of the magazines that we subscribe to. Maybe there's some of the music that's in our homes and maybe some of the filth that we're allowing into our minds over and over again. Maybe we need to get those things out of our lives. Maybe some of us need to go home and tear down some of the posters that are on our walls. And some of us need to break away from the crowds of people that we're hanging with. Why should we do this? When we associate with evil, it's going to rub off on us. When we make provision for Satan and give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. Too many of us are giving place to the devil in our homes and in our lives. Ephesians 4:27 says this, and do not give the devil an opportunity. One of the ways Christ overcame the temptation Satan hurled at him for 40 days was not making any room for Satan to get into his life. And secondly, we overcome temptation by commitment. In the book of James, we read in 4 verse 7, he says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I think many Christians think they take that scripture and they think they can just stand up and they say, Satan, I resist you. In the name of Jesus, you flee from me. What happens? Satan's still there. See, these are no magic words. It's not like magic words we used to say when we were kids, when we'd go abracadabra and we think something magical was going to happen. The fact is, you may say, devil, I resist you all day long and nothing will happen. Some people think that if you get mad enough and you look mad enough and you say angrily, devil, I resist you, get away from me. But guess what? The devil doesn't go anywhere. He is still there with temptations to sin stronger than ever. After you realize just saying that you resist the devil does not work, you need to find out why. And that's why if you go back to that verse we just looked at, notice what God says first. He says this, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Look at the word submit. It's translated from the Greek word which means to put under, be under obedience, subject yourselves. If a Christian is willing to submit to God, he will have a victorious life. The Lord Jesus is to have that very special place in our lives. Him and no one else. We must submit to Him. And when we submit to Him, we're going to be obedient to Him. And we're going to do the things He wants us to do. We need to submit to Him and Him only. He needs to be the one who is in absolute control of our lives. He needs to be the Lord of your lives. He needs to be the King of your lives. Not other things. It has to be God. And if you commit to him, then Satan will flee. The third thing we can do to overcome the temptation is by the power of God's word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, this: "Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." The word of God is spiritual food, and if we stay in it, we will be so full that there'll be no room for anything else. There's a man one time who accepted Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. But as he walked to church, he passed by this beer parlor, beer joint, that he frequented for years and years. Every time he got close to it, the temptation was so strong, it was almost magnetic, pulling into it. He wanted to please the Lord. He prayed, "Lord, tell me how to overcome this temptation." All of a sudden, he looked up, and there was a lemonade stand. He went over to it, and he ordered the biggest glass of lemonade they had. He drank it, and he ordered another one. He drank so much lemonade that he was so full, he could not drink anything else. Then he walked down the street, and when he came close to that beer joint, he had no problem passing by it. He was so full of lemonade that he had no desire for the beer. When we are so full of the Word of God, there is no room for the devil. See, that's why the Christian who wants to please the Lord is in the Word of God in daily devotion. They attend Bible study. They're at the church every time the doors open because they want to learn more and more about God's Word. They want to understand. They want to be able to apply it. They want to get it in their lives. They want to be so full of the teachings of God and how he wants us to live our lives that there's no room for anything else. When Satan tempted Jesus, the Bible says, "Go, Satan, for it is written." See, Jesus was victorious over temptation because he made no provision for it. He was totally committed to God the Father, and he used the Word of God against Satan. You can overcome sin in your life. You can. You can overcome it. Let the Lord be more precious to you than sin. You can overcome every sin that haunts you every day, if you will just put Christ first. Perhaps you can think of a sin in your life right now. You know that the Lord is not pleased. We probably could think of a sin that we can think of this very moment. It has robbed you of your joy. It's robbed you of your fellowship with the Lord. You will overcome it only when the Lord means more to you than sin. When it becomes so special that you yield only to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this: "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, so that you will be able to endure it." My friends, we have been talking about all these struggles we have in life. When these hurts come along, maybe there's some here this morning that need to make changes in your life. Things that you're making provisions for sin. You hang around with it. You hang around in those points that there's no surprise when you finally fall into it. Maybe there's some of you this morning that need to make changes, real changes. And in order to make those changes, you need to make a public decision here this morning. You need others to hold you accountable. Maybe there's other decisions that you can make a commitment right now, right from your very seat, of some changes you're going to make in your life so that sin does not reign in your life. You know, there's a story told about the great Houdini. He was a master musician and a magician, and he was a great locksmith. And he once bragged that there is no jail in this world that he could not escape from. And if he was provided to go into that jail in his regular street clothes, that he could, and was given complete privacy, that he could get out of any jail. Well, there's a small town in England who had just built a new jail. which they believed to be absolutely escape-proof. So they invited Houdini to come and try to break out of their jail. Houdini accepted the challenge. They put him in the cell and they closed the door. He was left all alone. He took off his belt and he took from it a tough, flexible steel rod. He went to work on the lock. He worked longer than he had ever taken him before on any lock, and still he could not get the lock open. As time passed, he was becoming exhausted. He was stumped. He couldn't figure out how to open this lock. Finally, after 2 solid hours of work, Houdini collapsed from exhaustion. As he fell against the door of that cell, the door swung open. It had been unlocked all the time. We can overcome sin in our life. We cannot overcome it on our own. We need Jesus. And we can't overcome it by hard work. But if you admit that you're helpless and you turn to God, He will set you free. May there's some here this morning that needs to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I remember when I made that decision so many years ago. I needed Him. I needed a Savior. The more I read His Word, I knew I needed someone to save me. And Jesus was willing to do that. His Scripture tells you that if you will accept Him, if you will believe in Him, you will have faith in Him. He says, I will save you. I'll save you by my grace. And He tells you what we need to do. We need to repent of our sins. We need to say we no longer want to do those things. We want to start living for You the way You want us to live, Father. We want to live that way. And once we repent of those sins, then we confess them. Confess Him before men. And He says, if you come and go down that watery grave of baptism, just like Jesus did, our sins will be washed away. And not only will our sins be washed away, we're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. May there's some here this morning that need to accept that. May there's others here that just need to make changes in your life this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity. We are going to sing a song of decision. And if you have a decision on your heart here this morning, let's make it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.